Shalom, it's a pleasure to be here with you today. I thought what we would learn together is the beginning of Maharal's Nesiv HaTshuva. The Maharal wrote a sefer called Nesivos Olam, which deals with various concepts topically. So there's tshuva, and there's anava, and the like, shtika. One of them is tshuva, and this time of year, it's a logical thing to do. I was zocha to learn Maharal's Nesiv HaTshuva, I think 15 years ago, with Rav Aaron Lapiansky. So, presumably, many of the ideas that I'm going to say come from him, though I don't have notes from that shiur, so I don't know exactly what's from him and what isn't. You could assume anything that makes sense is from him, and anything that you don't like is from me. But really, Be'etzem, we're going to simply try to learn the Maharal. Now, before we begin, I'd like you to think about a certain question, and this question is something that we should all think about this time of year, but it's also behind the scenes in this chapter. I remember a number of years ago, I like to write myself a little letter before Yom Kippur and think about the things I'd like to work on this year. So many years ago I did that, and then I finished it. I was about to go out to Mincha, I took my machzor, and as I grabbed my machzor, out from the machzor fell last year's letter. So I took a look at the letter, and it was extremely depressing because it was the same letter. Sadly, this type of thing happens to many people. In fact, I once saw in a psychology journal a study about New Year's resolutions. What percentage of New Year's resolutions are actually fulfilled? And remarkably, there's a 95% failure rate. And what this particular article was pondering is, why is it that people try again and again? Usually, if you fail at something, or you're so likely to fail, you won't even try. And yet, people try and try again. And the answer, I believe, is that there's a dialectic within us. When we make that New Year's resolution, or when on Erev Yom Kippur we make a Kabbalah or the like, we really want to do that. We really want to fulfill that Kabbalah. It's not like we're joking. It's meant 100% seriously. So then the question is, well, why don't we do it? What happens? Mashalama davar doma. Somebody goes ahead and they say, I'm going to get up on time for Shacharis tomorrow. And they set their alarm. And when they set their alarm before they go to bed at night, 100%, they want to be on time. And then the alarm goes off, and they hit snooze. They come late. So who is the real person? Is the real person the person who sets the alarm? Or is the real me the person who hits snooze? That's the question that the Maharal is considering, and it's really in that context that all of tshuva becomes possible. So, with that background, let's begin. The Maharal's derech is that he explains, usually it's a member of Chazal, in this case he starts off with a group of psukim from Mishlei, and he explains what their deeper meaning is, and what the particular meaning is of each statement or each word, that each chelak of the mashal, if it is a mashal, is significant. So in this case, he begins with a group of psukim from Mishlei, Perek Aleph. The psukim say, Chachmos b'chutz tarona, b'rchovos titen kola. Wisdom sings out in the outside. In the streets, it gives forth its voice. B'rosh homios tikra, in the head of noisy throngs, it calls out, Bepischei she'arim be'ir amareha tomar. At the entrances of the city, its statements, it says. So, chachma is calling out. And what does she call out? Admasai pisiyim te'ehavu pesi. How long will you fools love foolishness? V'leitzim latzon chamadu lahem. And scoffers, how long will you desire scoffing? Uksilim yisne'udas. And how long will fools hate wisdom? Tashuvu l'tochachti. Return to my chastisement. Hine abia lachem ruchi, odia divarai eschem. I will express my spirit to you. I will tell you my things. Yan karasi vatimainu natisi adai ve'ein makshiv. But because I've called out and you have refused, I've stretched forth my hand and nobody has listened. Vatifreehu kol atzasi v'tochachti lo avisem. You have rejected all of my counsel and not listened to my kol tochacha. That is the psuk. Those are the psukim in Mishlei. So now the Maharal is going to explain what do these psukim mean. Shlomo HaMelech wrote to Lomar, ki atorah shehi hachachma. So the pasuk begins with chachmos b'chutz tarona. Wisdom calls out. It sings out. So what is chachma referring to? Chachma is referring to Torah. Torah, of course, is the ultimate source of our chachma. Where do we get chachma from? Chachma is a devar Hashem, and we acquire chachma through Torah. V'lachein lo ksiv chachma. So why does it say chachmos b'chutz tarona? It should say chachma b'chutz tarona. Says the Maharal, no, it's very meduyik. It says chachmos in plural. Why? Kshehi chachma ha'elyona she'ein achareh hadavar. What this means is that the Torah contains within it all wisdom, meaning to say that the chachma of Torah is different than any other chachma. Any other chachma is limited to that particular chachma. The chachma of engineering is about engineering. The chachma of Torah, though, contains within it all chachma. We can't always necessarily decipher how all chachma is within Torah, but the Ramban writes in the Sakdama to Torah, and the Grunt, Sifra Ditznusa, the Ramban writes it also in Darsa Torah Sasham Tamima, that if we knew how to properly learn Torah, then we could see within Torah all wisdom. And thus, because it contains within it all chachmos, it's referred to chachmos. So, Torah calls out. V'achachma zos hi b'chutz tarona. It calls out, it sings out, literally, outside. What's meant by b'chutz? Kilomar, shemischayev davar zeh min ha-chachma shel Torah el kol b'nei Adam. By saying that the Torah calls out b'chutz, it's telling us that it is something which is available. It's something which is mischayev to kol b'nei Adam. It's not something that's in the Rishus HaYachid that is only shayach to a particular group of people. It's not in some ivory tower, but it's b'chutz. V'zehu b'chutz tarona. So Torah calls out to everyone. V'amar b'rchovos titein kola, rotza lomar, hadavar hazeh shu mischayev min ha-Torah, al tomar shehachiyuv hazeh eino rak l'chachamim gedol l'me'od. What is meant by birchovos? Birchovos always refers to the masses. Don't think that Torah and the message of Torah is a message which is only relevant to Talmidei Chachamim, to particularly wise people. No. Avochiyuv zeh birchovos. It's available in the streets. It's for the masses. Shasham rabim bnei adam. V'yoser mizeh. The pasuk goes even further. Ad shetikra b'rosh homyos. It calls out among the throngs of people. Shasham kibbutz bnei adam. Dehainu. Shadavar hazeh mechuyav etzel kol adam beinunim. This idea, this lesson, this message of the Torah is something which is mechuyav to all people, even the beinuni. It's not just to the Beinunim, it's the entrance to the city where everybody enters. Ad shagzera zos mechuyaves etzel kol bnei adam v'yafshar shene'elam zeh min achad mehem. So the psukim are telling us that this message, the message of the Torah, is something which no one can ignore. It's something which is mechayev everyone. Umahu adavar hazeh. So what exactly is this message that the Torah is telling us? Ki ha'adam yesh lo lachshov al drachav. Very simple. That a person has to think about their life. They have to live life thoughtfully when they act. They shouldn't just act without thought, but with thought. V'amar ad masai. So the psukim continue. How long will the pesi love his foolishness? Kilomar, v'chi ein atem yireim ki telchu min ha'olam below tshuva? What is the words ad masai? Ad masai is telling us, aren't you afraid? Maybe you'll die. Aren't you afraid to die without tshuva? Who knows? Who knows how long a person will live? How long will this go on? Ulekach, yesh lachem lehischaret al maaseichem. And therefore you should do tshuva, you should have charata. And the Maral now picks up on the fact that if you notice, the psukim refers to three groups of people. There is the pesi, the leitz, and the ksil. So who are these three groups of people? So the Maral says, Ukeneged gimel kitos medaber. The Torah, Chachma, is addressing three groups of people. Ki yesh chote, shehu chomed el hatava min znus v'shar taivos. There are some sinners who desire taiva. They desire their lustful physical pleasures. V'zeu she'amar te'ehavu pesi. You love foolishness. She'en nimshach achar haseichel. What marks physical desires is that these lusts do not follow the seichel. They're not intellectual. There's no real benefit that a person accrues when they do these pleasurable acts. Rak achar haguf. Rather, why does a person do them? What benefit is there? There's a physical benefit. So there's no benefit mitzad haseichel. It's mitzad haguf, and that's why it's described as tehavu pesi. Ulekach yikra pesi, she'en lo haseichel v'da. Someone who follows their lusts and fulfills their physical fantasies is someone that does not follow their seichel. Kumo she'amru, ki siste, ein ha'isha min ha'efes ad she'tikanes baruach shdos. The Medrash tells us that when a woman has an affair, so one would only do such an aveira, and this is a general trend with respect to these types of physical averos, if nichnas baruach shdos, if you're overtaken by a spirit of foolishness. It doesn't make sense. It's not something that's logical or rational. It's not something that anybody would do if they were thinking carefully about their actions. Why does it happen? Because they're overtaken. And when you ask someone afterwards, how could they do such an aveira? They say, and I don't know. I don't know how could I be such an idiot? But we're overtaken. It's nichnas banu ruach shdos. And this is one category of aveiros. Ki aznus maase chomri. V'kasher min ha'efes nichnas baruach shdos. Because znus is a physical action, and thus when a person is engaged in niyuf, in some type of illicit sexual relationship, or any aveira of that sort, so that is a ruach shdos. What happens when we do those types of things? The seichel that distances us from these types of aveiros departs, and instead we're involved in ruach shdos. So the first type of aveira is the type of aveira that the pasuk refers to as a pesi, the type of aveira when one does something that doesn't make sense. They're overtaken by a lust, by desire, by a spirit of foolishness, and they do an act which they very much regret when they stop and think about it, because it's not something that makes any sense. Ve'achar kach amar neged kas hashniya ve'hem haleitzim ha'mechalim yemehem behevel b'maasim she'en bahem mamish. The second kas is the leitz. The leitz, according to the Maharal, is someone that simply wastes their life, wastes their time, wastes their talents, wastes their tools. Someone could go ahead and spend hours, and they don't necessarily even do a particular avera, but they look at the clock and hours are gone, days are gone, months are gone, years are gone, whether it's a schmoozing about nothingness or playing video games or whatever it is. The second category of avera, of something for which a person needs to do tshuva, is referred to in this pasuk as leitzanos, as something that's simply wasteful. Al ze amar veleitzim latzon chamdu lahem. They desire latzon. They desire not particularly, it's not taivos, it's not an avera per se, but of course the wasting of time, the wasting of talents, is something which is also an avera. It's very interesting. A lot of times we think that tshuva is something which focuses on the lo saaseh, on averos, on things that we shouldn't do. We often don't think about tshuva for a mitzvah saaseh. It's very interesting when we look at the karbanos that relate to chatayim. So what karbanos does the Torah tell us? So we have a chatas and an asham, which are karbanos that are brought for a narrow group of chatayim. Karban chatas is for an iser, sheish bo kares, that's done b'shogeg, and an asham is for a specific group of things. But then you have the karban ola. The karban ola is mechaper on a bitul aseh, or lav hanitak laseh. The lesson of the karban ola is that bitul aseh, and in general, not using one's talents, is something that also requires kapara. And in fact, it's very interesting, because when it comes to the mitzvos lo saaseh, so it's only, generally speaking, the most severe of averos that warrant a karban. Aver sheish bem kares. But when it comes to an aseh, so really any bitul aseh warrants a karban. And in many ways, being mevatel an aseh is more egregious. Of course, in many ways it's less egregious, but like the Ramban says, aseh is docha lo saaseh, because ava trumps yira. And whether it's worse or not worse, the lesson of the karban ola is certainly that when we do tshuva, we have to think about not just that which we did that we shouldn't have done, but that which we could have done and didn't do. The Ramban writes, that's the meaning of the Gemara. The Gemara says that if yisurin ban liyadcha yifashvesh b'maisav, that the first step you should do is you should look and see if there are any averos. And if there are no averos, then it probably because of bitul Torah. So the Gemara, the Ramban in Shar Gemul says, what does bitul Torah mean? Bitul Torah is lav davka bitul Torah. It means lack of fulfilling our potential of doing positive things with the talents we've been given. The greatest example of that is Torah. And thus, if we haven't used our time, so then yitleu bebitul Torah, meaning to say it's a lack of realized potential. And so the Maharal here is making that same point, that the second group of averos, the second type of thing for which a person has to do tshuva, is for not fulfilling, not actualizing their potential. The Maharal continues, v'achar kach amar uksilim yisne udas. The third category is the ksil, who hates wisdom. It's not simply that, like the first category. The first category is someone who doesn't really object to wisdom per se, but is overcome by desire. Nichnas bo ruach shtus, and therefore they do something that they regret. This third category is someone who sone das. Vezeh keneged bnei adam shem roim virishayim. Lo mitzad shem isavim el hataivos. They don't just sin because they desire. Rak shehem roim v'nefesh rasha misavel ra mipnei shehu ra. Rather, because they're evil, and the nefesh of a rasha desires evil because it's evil. Vezeh uksilim yisne udas. Ki hadas mechayev lasos hatov, that wisdom dictates, demands that we do that which is good, And they hate that. V'heim sonu hadas, rak oavim hara. It's interesting, if you look at the Geras HaMusar of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, so he has a similar distinction between what's Maral's category 1 and 3. He says that sometimes we sin because we're overcome by desire. We fundamentally want to do what's right, but our taivos take hold. And sometimes a person sins because they're ra be'etem. He says something very scary there. He says that it's only shayach to be in the first category if you learn Musar. Because if you learn Musar, so then you know what's right. And then you could say, okay, I really want to do what's right, but I've been overtaken. I don't know if the Maral would go that far. But the same distinction is here as well. V'chein u'kemokein zachram David b'pasuk ashrei ha'ish asher lo halach b'atzas rishayim u'v'derech chata'im lo amad u'v'moshav lo leitzim lo yashav. This is, of course, the very beginning of Sefer Tehillim, where David HaMelech praises a person who was not holech ba'atzas rishayim and didn't stand in the derech chatayim and didn't sit in the moshav leitzim. So we have, again, the same repetition of three categories of sinners, rishayim, chatayim, and leitzim. And the Maral writes that the three categories in our pasuk correspond to these three as well. We see this three-part division in other places. The Rishayim is the same as the Ksilim, those who are Yisne Udas. The Chataim are the Pesi, right? The person who's overtaken, and the Leitzim is the same word in both. The Amar. So the Pasuk, having described these three categories of sinners, so Chachma, that is Torah, calls out to them. And what does it say to them? Tashuvu letochachti, return to my tochacha, or because of my tochacha, rotza lomar, ki haTorah omeres lechotim sheyashuvu, lekayim velishmor haTorah. The Torah calls out to the sinners and tells them to do tshuva, to do that which is right. It's very interesting. In the parsha we just read, so the psukim describe the notion that we have free will. Hine anochi nosein lefnechem hayom es ha-bracha ves ha-klal es ha-chaim es ha-maves nasati lefanecha. And what does the pasuk conclude? Uvacharta v'chaim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does give us the choice, but like a father tells his child, uvacharta v'chaim. Like the Psukim in Yechezkel say, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a system of din and gives us free choice, but lo echpotz b'mos hameis kiyim b'shuvo. So the Torah calls out and tells us to repent. Wrote, af shechatu mischayev lahem sheyashuvu. Even though they've sinned, the Torah is mechayev tshuva. V'kasher yashuvu achotim El Hashem Yisborach, mekablam b'tshuva. When we do tshuva, Kadosh Baruch Hu is mekabel the tshuva. No matter how far we've sunk, no matter which of the three groups we find ourselves, and oftentimes it's a little bit of each. So no matter where we are, the Torah calls out that we repent and accepts that repentance. V'avim hayu chotim b'meizid, hayim ischayev min haTorah sheyesh lahem tshuva. Even if they've sinned intentionally, the Torah is meschayev tshuva. Ki haTorah sheisichlus legamrei, v'hadam eino sichli, raku balaguf. So here the Maral is going to tell us why tshuva is possible. Tshuva, as the Balei Machshava point out, is very problematic on many levels. It doesn't really make sense that I should be able to turn back the clock. If I've made mistakes, so how could I undo those mistakes? Bishlama, going forward. Okay, so going forward, I'll choose a new derech. But how could I undo that which I freely and volitionally did? And moreover, we know HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not a vatran. So how does tshuva work? And there are different ways of understanding it. The Mesil Shesharim famously compares it to Hataras Nedarim and the like. So the Maral is now going to tell us the Yesod of Tshuva. And he writes, that tshuva is possible because Torah is sichli. The Adam eino sichli, rak hu ba'al aguf. We are not entirely sichli. We have a seichel, we have a chachma, but of course that's not all that we are. V'ilu hay ha'adam bal seichel legamrei v'chata eina tshuva mo'ililo. If we acted entirely using our seichel, we were entirely sichli, meaning to say, before we did any act, we went ahead, we contemplated the matter, we did a cost-benefit analysis, and with full control and autonomy, we went ahead and we made the choice, then of course you can't turn back the clock. It wouldn't make sense. But that's not how we act. We're not sichli. So if we were sichli, then tshuva wouldn't work. Ki atshuva b'shvil shiyomar chatasi. Because tshuva is all about saying chatasi, v'hu mischarit al ma'asav. V'acharata shayeches le'adam ma'she'en kol ma'asav sichliim. Charata is shayach because we're not sichliim. Ulekach lo haya shayach tshuva klal im haya adam sichli. Aval mipnei she'adam eino sichli gamor. Tshuva v'charata shayach bo. Ulekach ha'torah ha'sichlis korei l'chataim l'shiyashuvu. This goes back to what we started with. How frequently do we go ahead and we decide to do a particular thing? We decide, to use our example from earlier, we're going to get up on time for Shacharis, or maybe even 10 minutes early, so we'll really be ready for Tefillah B'Tzibur. And that's our intention. And then, again, we wake up and we're tired and we hit snooze and we don't end up doing what we wanted to do. So we asked before, so who's the real me? Is the real me the person who set the alarm? Or is the real me the person who hit snooze? Because both of them are really me. I was the one who made both decisions. And the Maharal is saying that's the basis of tshuva. When a person does tshuva, what they're saying is the real me is the person who wants to do what's right. And the person that hits snooze, that doesn't reflect who I really am. Now, of course, saying it alone is insufficient. It has to reflect a true change. It has to reflect the true desire to be different and choose a different path than the decisions we've made. But if it is sincere, and the steps of Charata and Kabbal al Haba and Vidui are all about concretizing those emotions, but if it really is true, so then tshuva is possible. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, I see this is the real you, the person who wants to be sichli, the person who wants to do what's right. And you're right, I'm not going to look at the person who pressed snooze or who did these averos, because that doesn't reflect who you really are. You were overtaken, as it were, by your desires, by your guf. And because you were overtaken, because that doesn't reflect who you truly are, so then I'm not going to hold you accountable. I'm going to see you as you are now. That's the yesod of tshuva. And now the Maharal says, Mimela, it follows that if a person was chote mitzad sichlo, it's not the pshat that when they were chote, they really wanted to do what's right, but they were simply overcome. But rather, they intellectually and cognitively decided that they wish to do that which is wrong. So then, by definition, tshuva is impossible. Because tshuva is only possible when we show that we are sichli, and that doesn't reflect who we are. And he says, based off of that, you could understand a beautiful medrash. V'im lo shav v'tshuva, achar sheyodeya shechata, v'haya lo lashuv min hachet. If a person at that point doesn't do tshuva, he's told, do tshuva, wake up, and he doesn't do tshuva. So then, v'zeh mora shechet shelo mitzad ha'seichel, lo mitzad she'eno sichli gamor. At that point, it becomes clear that his chet was mitzad ha'seichel. It wasn't mitzad she'eno sichli, because if it was mitzad she'eno sichli, then he would have done tshuva. The az mischayev min haTorah hasichlis davar zeh yan karasi vatimaeno natisi adai vein makshev. The continuation of the psukim. If you don't do that tshuva, so then I won't forgive you. Why? Because tshuva is impossible at that point. It's not like a punishment, but definitionally it's impossible. And therefore, Yan Karasi Vatimainu Natisi Adai Vein Makshe Vatifreu Kol Atasi V'Tochachti Lo Avisem Az Tikreini V'Lo Ene Yishach Runani V'Lo Yimtzauni. And now, based off of this, the Maharal explains a very, very troublesome concept. Kayadua, the psukim tell us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu hardened Paro's heart. And the Rishonim, and the Medrash, as we'll see in a moment, is troubled by this. We know that Ein Davar Omed Bifnei HaTshuva, that tshuva is always possible. So how could Paro's ability to repent be taken away? And there are a number of very, very yesodistic answers to this question. The Rambam says that sometimes a person can sin in such an egregious fashion that their ability to do tshuva is taken away. Others say that really he had the ability to do tshuva. What it means is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mechazek es libo. He gave him the strength to do what he really wanted to do. What did he really want to do? He wanted to keep the Jews in Mitzrayim as slaves and to persecute them. However, he was being worn down by the pressure of the Makos, and he was about to agree to do something bonus, something that he really didn't want to do. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him the strength. That's what the psukim mean. So there are, of course, many, many answers. The Maral here offers an explanation. Uve Medrash, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mikan Pischein Pe Lomar Shelo Haisa Mimenu Shiyasa Tshuva. From here, the Rishayim have an opening to say that God doesn't allow tshuva. Shenemar Ki Ani Hechbadati Es Libo. Amar Reish Lakish, Yistam Piyam Shel Rishayim, Ela Im Leleitzim Hu Yalitz. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Masre Bay Ba'adam Pam Rishona, Kadosh Baruch Hu gives many warnings, one, two, three warnings, and a person doesn't do tshuva. V'noel libo min hatshuva, kidei lifroa mimenu ma shechata. Then Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't allow tshuva anymore. Af kach paru harasha, kevan sheshiger Kadosh Baruch Hu chamisha pa'amim, v'lo ishkiach al dvarav. The first five makos, it doesn't say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu hardened his heart. It says that he hardened his own heart. What does that mean? It means he refused to accept that which is obvious. If anybody was even somewhat reasonable after having experienced the first five makos, they would say, look, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hu HaElokim, the purpose of the makos surely shows the existence of God, and it's wrong to continue to fight and to disobey. But what did Paro do? He hardened his own heart, meaning to say he refused to accept that which is obvious. He refused to listen to the Tochach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Or, to use the Maral's analogy earlier, he was so nechachma. He refused to accept that which is true. So then, Amar la HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaTahik Shesa Arpecha V'chbadetas Libcha Hareini Mosif L'chatuma Al Tumasecha V'chol Zeh Kasher Hisro Bo Lashuv V'lo Yishav. It's not just like the Rambam says, well, this Aveira is so bad, Memela Tshuva is not possible. No, it's much more meduyik. Once you got that Hasra, once you were shown, once you got the warnings, this case, five warnings, and you didn't do Tshuva, so what? As hachet hazeh nechshev mitzad sichlo. It was clear at this point that Paro's chet wasn't mitzad taiva. Because mitzad taiva, the warnings were surely sufficient to wake him up and to cause him to change his mind. No, Paro was choti mitzad sichlo. It was an intellectual decision to choose evil. As hachet hazeh nechshev mitzad sichlo v'shuv ein tshuva l'davar zeh. So then memela, tshuva isn't shayach. Maybe he could change his mind going forward. But you can't undo the past when the past was done mitzad sichlo. Ulekach amar, az tikreini, therefore again, our psukim say, you'll call out to me, v'lo e'aneh, but I, God, will not respond. Ki ka'asher masra Hashem yizbarach ba'adam shiyashuv, once HaKadosh Baruch Hu has been masre tshuva v'lo yishav, and he didn't do tshuva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu noel lefanav pesach tshuva charka, then the opportunity for tshuva is taken away. Based on this yisod, the Maharal explains a fascinating medrash. This is a famous medrash. It appears in a number of contexts. Uve medrash. This is one of the sources, is the Yerushalmi and Makos. Shalu l'chachma chote ma'onsho. They asked Chachma, what is the onesh of for a chote, for a sinner? What does it mean, they asked Chachma? HaKadosh Baruch Hu relates to the world through different mechanisms. And there is the perspective of Chachma. The worldview, as it were, of Chachma is a certain perspective on reality. So, from the perspective of Chachma, what is the result of a chet? And the Chachma answers, Amra, Chataim tirdof ra. This means is that there's an aspect to sin which is totally self-destructive. The chet itself destroys a person. There's no need for external punishment because the low-level choice comes with a natural consequence. L'mashalama davar dome, to see the difference between this and the next option. If I go ahead and I tell my kids, if you don't clean your room, you won't get dessert. So that's a punishment for not cleaning their room. But there's no inherent connection between a dirty room and no chocolate cake. It's a punishment. I asked you to do something, you disobeyed, and therefore there's a punishment, no chocolate cake. There's also a natural consequence for not cleaning your room. If you don't clean your room, you're not going to be able to find your clothing in the morning, and you won't find your homework, and you'll slip on the floor, and you won't have any clean clothing. There's a natural consequence to the decision to have a dirty room. And the same thing is true for reward. I could tell my kids, if you clean up, I'll give you a lollipop. Or I could say, if you clean up, you'll be able to find your stuff, and it'll be much more pleasant, and it won't smell, or whatever it is. So every chet has both components. There's the kilkel, and there is a merida, and that merida calls for a punishment. So from the perspective of Chachma, the consequence of a sin is the destruction that it causes. If a person lives a despicable life, so they'll be a mekulkel. And there's no need for anything else. That's simply from the perspective of Chachma. So thus, Chachma responds, what is the onesh of the chote tirdof ra? Shalu l'nevua chote ma'onsho. Amra, ha'nefesh ha'chotas hi tamos. They ask nevua, what is the onesh of a sin? And the answer is, ha'nefesh ha'chotas hi tamos. This refers to the other side of the coin. Nevuah is the means by which HaKadosh Baruch Hu communicates to the world. And from the perspective of Nevuah, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu told you to do something and you don't do it, tamos, there's no makom for your existence. You exist because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wills you to exist so that you could be mekayim ritzono. And accordingly, if you disobey that which he says, tamos, you die. It's a punishment. It's not that you simply suffer from the consequences, the natural consequences of your sin, but it's a overt punishment. So that is the second perspective. Shalu l'Torah chote ma'onsho. They ask Torah, what is the onesh of a chet? Amra, yavi asham v'yiskaper. There's a tikkun. The Torah tells us not just what to do and what we shouldn't do, but it also tells us how to rectify that which we've done wrong. And there's a process. What's the process? The process is that we can bring a karban and achieve kapara. Shalu laKadosh Baruch Hu chotei ma'ansho. They ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Amar, yase tshuva v'yiskaper. You do tshuva. So what's the pshat here? What does it mean that the Torah says bring an asham, you have to bring a karban, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself says you don't have to do any, you don't have to bring anything, you just have to do tshuva? So Torah reflects the idea that there has to be some type of consequence. So if it's not going to be the onesh of misa or destruction, you have to fix something. And there's a derech. And the derech is to bring a karban. Perhaps it even mentions asham of all karbanos, because an asham has is the only karban that has a specific value. There's a cost. You have to pay. But klapei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you don't even have to pay. Give a mashal. The Drashas HaRan asks a very, very powerful question. The Ramban also asks the question. If you look in Sefer Shmos, there are two psukim concerning the Hanhagav HaMalach, which seem to present the opposite perspective. In Shmos Perek Chaf Gimel Pasuk Chaf, the Pasuk says, Hine anochi sholeach malach lefanecha, hishamer mipanav ushma bekolo, al tamer bo, ki lo yisa lepishechem, ki shmi bekir bo. The implication is that a malach is more severe than HaKadosh Baruch Hu, more strict. Ki lo yisa lepishechem, because there's a malach, as opposed to a more direct hanhag of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so you won't be forgiven, your sins won't be forgiven. Ki lo yisa lepishechem. On the other hand, in Perek Lamed Gimel, Pasuk Beis, the Pasuk sounds like the opposite. V'shalachti lefanecha malach, ki lo ele bekirbecha ki am k'sheor efata, pen achalcha baderech. I'm sending a malach. It's not going to be this direct hanhaga. Why? Because if there is the direct hanhaga, then you might be obliterated. Kiyam she'orefata, you've already sinned. This is, of course, after the Chet Ha'egel. And penachalcha baderech. If there's a more direct hanhaga, then you might be consumed, you might be destroyed. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to be manhig you in a more indirect way, and apparently then if you sin, so the sin is not so egregious, it doesn't necessarily warrant the same level of destruction. So the Ran in Drashos, it's Drasha Dalid. If you want to look it up, it's page Kuf Mem in the Moseder Rav Kook edition. So the Ran asks, I don't understand. Which one is it? So let's give a mashal. We'll give a more contemporary mashal. This mashal I remember from Rav Aaron. Good mashal, and you always remember. So let's say you have a factory, and the boss tells the manager, the owner tells the manager, I want to make sure people come on time. People have been coming late, showing up late for work, so the owner tells the manager, I want you to tell all the employees, you have to come on time, and if you don't come on time, there'll be a consequence. So the manager gets up, and he tells all the employees, henceforward, everybody has to be here at 9 o'clock, and if you don't come at 9 o'clock, you'll be docked a half hour's pay. Okay. So if somebody comes late, so they'll be docked. It's not the worst thing in the world, but the consequence has to happen. On the other hand, if let's say in a different situation, the owner goes ahead, sees an employee coming late, and he says, Joe, I want you to come on time tomorrow. Don't come late tomorrow. And the Joe, after being directly warned by the owner of the factory, comes late the next day. So In that case, what he did was much worse. He was directly told by the owner not to come late, and he came late. But on the other hand, there's also a tzad hakal, because if the owner decides, all right, I'll let it go, don't worry, he has that authority. The manager can't do that, because the manager, he's also following orders. He can't go ahead if somebody comes late and says, all right, don't worry about it. No, he has to follow the rules, and the rules are that if you come late, you get docked a half-hour pay. Whereas the owner, while violating his command, is surely much worse. The merida is far more egregious, but at the same time, he has the authority, because he's the owner, to simply wave it off. So that's the yesod. On the one hand, being under the hanhag of a malach is, if a person is chote, so it's much less egregious, because it's not like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is directly watching and commanding, and then the person rebels and spites him. So the mered doesn't exist. There's still the kilkel, and because there's a kilkel, there has to be the consequence, because the manager, as it were, the malach, doesn't have the authority to simply wave it away. But when we're under the anhag of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on the one hand, there is kilo pen achalcha baderech. If you rebel, if you're moired, so then you could be totally destroyed. At the same time, there is this tzad hakal. So that's the yesod. Torah reflects the rules that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. And mitzad the rules, so there is a tikkun, yavi asham, but there has to be a tikkun. You have to do something. You can't just, it can't be waved off. Masha'en kein, klape HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So then, if you do tshuva, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu would say, yasa tshuva v'yizkaper. There doesn't have to be anything. There doesn't even have to be an asham. And that's the yesod of tshuva. The yesod of tshuva is lashuv el Hashem. To get back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to restore the relationship. And when one does restore that relationship, to that extent, so then there need not be any further consequence. And the Medrash continues, Lama hu tov b'shvil shehu yashar, v'lama hu yashar b'shvil shehu tov. Adkan. So b'medrash hazeh ba'alavayar, almost out of time. Maybe I'll read to it very quickly, but then we'll stop. B'medrash hazeh ba'alavayar, ki im sheha'emes hu shemitzad ha'seichel ein ra'ui l'chote tshuva. Mikol makom yesh l'adam tshuva. Ve'af ki nefles hi be'einenu. V'zeh she'amar tov yashar Hashem al kei nirech ha'tayim badarech. V'rotze lomar, she'Hashem yizborech more l'chote haderech ha'yashar. She'Hashem yizborech yashar. Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu show us the path to return? Because of his own yashros. U'me'achar shehu yashar huga more haderech ha'yashar l'adam. The ode, ki mipnei ki hara muchan l'rishayim basof, v'hu yizbarach tov, v'atov rotze betov, v'lo bira, sheyeh l'rasha. In other words, there are these two reasons why, as it were, the Medrash is picking up on why HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows us how to do tshuva. Because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's inherent yashrus, he is yashar, and therefore he wants everybody else to be yashar, and therefore he shows the derech hayashar, and because he's a meitiv, because he's tov, and he wants what's best for us. And thus, it says, because he's yashar, right? The pasuk says that yorech hatayim baderech, because he's yashar and because he's tov. Ulefikach mitzad beis bechinos, mashu yizbarach tov v'yashar, ro'oi shashem yizbarach mora l'chatayim, shem holchem baderech me'ukam, mora lahem el derech hayashar. Ulahatzil osam min hara'a asher muchan l'rishayim. V'lama umasha amar lama hu tov b'shvil shehu yashar v'lama hu yashar b'shvil shehu tov. What is that repetition in the Medrash? Rotzil omar ki Hashem yizbaruch hu tov mipnei shu meitiv el hakol v'lo she'atov hazeh b'lo tam she'im ha'yiyah Hashem yizbaruch meitiv l'brios v'lo haya tam el hatov, ein ze roish yikari tov. What it means is that tov can reach such a level that it's not truly tov. If tov has no boundaries, so then it's no longer tov. In other words, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just meitiv without any gvulos, so then that's not truly tov. That's why certain arayos are called chesed. That's the yesod behind nama dekisuf and the like. Kemosha amruzal kol omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu vatran yivatru lo chayav. In other words, to call HaKadosh Baruch Hu a vatran, which means tov b'li gvulos, just to give without any system of justice, so then yivatru lo chayav. V'lo nikra ze tov she'en midas hayosher nosen ze levater b'chinam. Ulekach amar lama hu tov b'shvil shu yasher. In other words, why is the tov truly tov? It's because there's also yashros. Kilomar she hayosher im hatov v'chein amar lama hu yasher b'shvil shu tov. So that's why it's lama hu tov b'shvil shu yasher. Why is it truly tov? Because there's also yashros. It's shitef imo midas harachamim, but there's still a level of din. So what about the reverse? Rotz lomar shehashem yisbarach yashar v'lo shayosher shema mid hashem yisbarach midaso al tachlis hadin ulech alo sesabrios. If it was only yashrus, so then everything would be destroyed, because like Rashi says, ratza livros bedin rashen yecholis kaim. So shein roish yikra yosher. If there's only yashrus, so then that wouldn't be yashrus, because there would be no kiyum. Avalama Hashem Yisbarach Yashar Mipnei Shehu Tov. She'im Hayosher Hu Hatov. V'zeh Hayosher Hagamor Kasher Im Hayosher Hatov. So it's tov because there's yashrus with the tov, and there's yashrus because there's tov as well. I guess we'll stop here, but just the last point is something that's very much worth thinking about, because it really relates to the two themes of Yamim Noraim. On the one hand, we have the theme of kapara and forgiveness, of tov, but we also have this aspect of yashrus. We don't expect hatava without gvulos. And in fact, that's why the avod of Rosh Hashanah is very much one of being mamloch HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And on the contrary, we don't even ask for tshuva and kapara yet. We focus on being mamlech, when we could appreciate that yashrus. So then there's makom for tov. That's a bigger shmuz on its own right. I want to wish you all a ksiva chsima tova, good gevensh diar, and thank you very much. Yeah, Mr. Siegel.
According to the Maharal Post, a person who is
It's a good question. Right. I think he's saying that he can't, he doesn't have that opportunity to undo the past in a chanami. Again, it doesn't mean he can't decide to go forward in the future. But it sounds to me that he's saying that this gift of undoing the past is only shayach when you're chote mitzad ha-taiva, not when you're chote mitzad ha-seichel.
What do you define pure seichel as knowing the tov and the chesaron in your seichel?
So it's a good question. Obviously, somebody who has that perspective has a mekolkol de kaseichel. But it sounds like to me that he's saying that it's not mitzad taiva anymore. Now, on the one hand, you could say, okay, that's better. You know, it's not. So he made a mistake. Onus rachmana patre. He made a bad cheshbon. I think what he's saying is, it's not just that he made an error in judgment, but he's been warned many times, right? Like he kept on saying, and the warnings are warnings that he's capable of being makabel. Hakadosh Baruch Hu's masri, Hakadosh Paro, for the first five makos, and those were things which he was capable of accepting. And yet he chose to harden his heart. And when a person actively, consciously refuses to accept that which is true and decides to choose Rabbi because it's Rabbi, because it's Sheker, for whatever perspective and whatever reason it is, so that's when tshuva is impossible. But you're right, it's not just like, I made a wrong cheshbon. And, you know, my seichel's wrong. For that, for sure, tshuva would be possible.
I was wondering the neshama ra. So I've never heard of a concept before, of like the essence of the person even the neshama being bad before. Is that a chiddush or
I don't know if it's that's the chose. Paro didn't have to end up that way, but he did. He didn't say etzem neshama is ra. It says that he was chote mitzad haseichel.
Right, but he also refers to the weightsim as being like seal is like what is it?
Right, so he designs, but he defines what he means. He means that it's someone who's chote. But what does that mean? Right. So I think he explains that later on with when he describes Paro. In other words, he describes how a person gets there. What it means
is
by being chote mitzad haseichel, as opposed to choosing evil, knowing it's evil, and nevertheless choosing it not because they're overcome by taiva, but because that's the path that you wish to choose.
Why is it like what causes a person to do that in the first place? If you weren't meaning like how does a tzaddik get started? I mean, like
it's two possibilities. One possibility is you could be medayik from the lines you're saying that was inherent, but I don't think that's the pshat because. I don't think he wants to say that Paro didn't have free will, otherwise it wouldn't be just that he was punished. So I think he sunk so low with his free decision that he was makalkal himself to such a degree that his nefesh was ra, and it's only from that state that he reached through these free decisions.
Before the makos happened, he was made a lot of bad decisions. Right. Then, so then when the makos came, he was already makalkal
But then, it sounds like he had the opportunity. Right, HaKadosh Baruch was warning him, and still he refused.
The same Midrash also describes that, you know, I think the same Midrash, described that Paro initially didn't want to be rot to the Jews. He said we had benefit from Yosef, and they deposed him, and only because he was tied up for the power. So he said, okay, and once he was in power, then Machshev is their governor.
Right, it might have been an Ishtalshim, but it didn't happen all at once.
You have your own
time.
It seems that there is a discrepancy between what the morale is saying about, or how you're presenting it, in terms of Shuva and being for. Feeling or showing being trying to the Haba, whereas for other people could be the Shavar also. Because when the Rabban says that Paro couldn't do Teshuvah after the first five Makos, according to that Malach, so it's not like he wouldn't have to serve the consequences of the first five. It seems he didn't have the ability anymore to do the right thing at all for the rest. So he had no ability.
He wasn't
even
punished
to Haba.
Well, he didn't have the ability at that point, at least until HaKadosh Baruch Hu changed his mind, to free the Jews.
Yeah, when
he wasn't like that's what the Rambam says, he wasn't punished for those decisions.
Oh, the Rambam said he wasn't punished?
Of course not. Can't be punished for something that he didn't do.
I thought in that case...
His punishment was for the past sins that he did, but not for anything in the future. The Rambam writes that explicitly in Hilchos Teshuvah.
But there was a Ramban.
I'm not talking about. I thought you said the Ramban.
No.
Ramban says that he could have. He maintained his free will. Had he wished to do that which was right, he could have.
Wait. Who's it said he was deprived of his free will?
Ramban.
Oh, that was the Ramban. Okay, I didn't remember who says what. I thought that getting punished for the wrong things he did after being deprived of free will was just a net accumulation of. The consequence of the first five.
Right.
But it was.
Right. But he wasn't punished for the sins, for the decision. When he said no after the seventh plague, that wasn't a sin for which he was punished because it wasn't a choice that he made freely. Hmm.
Rambam says explicitly?
Mm hmm.
Okay.
Both in Shmona Prakam and in Hilchos Teshuvah.
Okay, anyway, so, but the way the Maharal was presenting it, the only question is like, could Paro do, you know, get out of the consequences of the first five? But according to Maral, he could still have.
Yeah, I think Maral is more focused, like a slightly different issue, but it's more focusing on tshuva for the past,
uh-huh,
as opposed to decisions going forward for the future.
Hey, very nice here.
Thank you. Thank you for the highlights.
Why is Tov without Gulos not Tov anymore?
No, I mean,
experientially, I can understand it, but just be so. Why is that true? More Tov should be.
I think that there's many aspects to this answering it, but
the other way, I think I understand.
But to say it like this, let's say Kadosh Baruch Hu. Somebody might ask, you know, they read the Ramchal, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to be Meitiv, and his whole desire is to be Meitiv, and it's not being Meitiv
if
you don't earn it. So you say, okay, so why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu create a universe where
it is Tov?
Right. So, l'chora, the answer is that's Begeder Malifnim. The Mishnah Chagiga says there are certain questions that we can't ask. And that's because we couldn't possibly relate to the answer. We can't relate to or imagine an existence other than our existence, a theoretically different universe or the like. Within our existence, it is true that to give some